You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're talking with Admiral James Ace Lyons, a distinguished veteran of the United States Navy, served in very senior positions as a four-star admiral in the Navy, capping some 40-year career. He's a man these days very actively contributing, I'm pleased to say, among other things, as the chairman of the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee, but also as a regular contributor to the Washington Times about the various challenges, national security and otherwise, of facing our country. Admiral, we were talking about what got us into World War II 75 years ago. Tomorrow, we will doubtless be spending a lot of time in the days ahead reminiscing about the war years that that followed from all of that. I'd like to sort of jump forward to the end of the war and what the United States was able to do as truly the world's greatest power to help establish a new sort of Pax Americana, I guess it's called, in the Pacific notably, but really around the world. You played a very important role in that for many, many years. Talk a little bit about the significance of what we did and its value even unto this day.
Well, of course, what we had to do, one of the great success stories is how we turned a hardened enemy into a staunch ally in Japan, and where they became one of the economic engines and one of the great success stories of the Pacific, which they were able to achieve, which they never would have been able to achieve had a different outcome happened at the end of World War II. So it is this great, let's say, benevolence of the United States to go out and establish peace and prosperity throughout the world, but specifically in the Pacific, with our former hardened enemy, which laid the foundation for much of what we were able to accomplish out there.
Yeah. Our guest is Admiral James Ace Lyons, the former Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet. And Admiral, there were elements to this post-World War II American-dominated order that extended beyond just, of course, our sheer military might and presence, particularly in the Western Pacific. There were also economic mechanisms, the whole Bretton Woods structure. There was the United Nations and so on. You were at one point assigned to represent our government there at the United Nations. Talk a little bit about looking at it now and some of the very significant tectonic shifts that are taking place in the region. And for that matter, economically as well, that are buffeting all of that.
Well, as I mentioned previously, Frank, you know, the communists were able to seriously penetrate all our agencies leading up to, during, and in the post-World War II period, which had a tremendous impact on our policies. And today we're facing the same things, but if the difference is the Muslim Brotherhood penetration into all our agencies, and which has had a tremendous impact on where we're going today as they've shaped our policies, certainly under the Obama administration, where they've been able to make their greatest penetrations, not only into our national security and intelligence agency, but also to the Congress of the United States. And all of this must be turned around with the new administration coming in. These must be purged, or we will be turned around just like the Soviets were able to do with their undercover agents in the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Let me ask you about one other piece of this that I know you've got some strong views on, Admiral. In light of the very aggressive buildup of China's military and the relative weakening of the United States' military, both in terms of the number of ships that it has, the presence that it's able to maintain in the region, and so on. What did you make of Donald Trump's phone call to Taiwan the other day, and some of the thrashing that it is unleashed in the elite and punditry?
Well, first of all, he didn't make the phone call. He accepted the phone call, and which, let's face it, no president or president-elect should be dictated to from Beijing on who they can talk to. In fact, I go back to the Carter administration. I never agreed with what they did with China, nor did I ever agree with them turning over our Panama Canal to a corrupt organization, one of the great eight strategic waterways in the world. Having said that, I believe it's absolutely necessary that we hold China to the rule of law. As you know, all their illegal claims to their dominance of the South China Sea, which is a key strategic maritime area that over $5 trillion worth of economic maritime traffic go through that area every year to our key allies, Japan, South Korea, and also to coming here to the United States. And, of course, we have our problem. We have a mutual defense treaty with the Philippines, and who have a new president that he is trying to cozy up to Beijing and back off some of the Philippine position on protecting their sovereignty and territory in the South China Sea is certainly of concern. However, I have indications from the Philippine military they're not going to let him stray too far off the reservations before they put some bounds on him.
So, in short, Admiral, your view is that the phone call to or with the Taiwanese president was an important strategic development, not simply a courtesy?
Well, I think the fact that he took the phone call sends a very definite signal that we may be more open and forthcoming with our relations with Taiwan. And your listeners have to understand, Taiwan is a key strategic piece of territory. We always considered Taiwan the equivalent of three carrier strike groups, and they're key to keeping open the maritime sea lanes of communication, which is the foundation of the United States Navy of freedom of the seas.
Could I ask you very quickly, Admiral, just in closing, we're out of time, I'm afraid, but the choke points that you've referred to and the surrender of the Panama Canal to a corrupt, government at the time, but it was more of a criminal enterprise. But it's now basically fallen under the effective control of the Chinese communists, hasn't it? And what are the strategic implications of that? Very quickly, sir.
Well, the problem is they control both ends of the canal. They have the container ports at both ends of the canal, both on the Gulf of Mexico side and both on the Pacific side. So, you know, in any they're in a position to do untold damage to that canal should that ever become an issue, or should we ever become involved in any type of conflict with China, or from an economic standpoint, disrupting the flow of normal commercial traffic through that critical strategic waterway.
Admiral James Ace Lyons, we salute you for your great service to our country over many years. Thank you for this retrospective on Pearl Harbor on the eve of the anniversary, its 75th anniversary, as well as the look ahead to the challenges facing our country and the Trump presidency. God bless you, sir. Keep up the good work. Next up, we'll talk with Michael Cutler about immigration challenges and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.